Hello and welcome to the Robin Pod Weekly, which is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials and supporters of Hull Kingston Rovers. And it's another packed edition of the Robin Pod, as we have three Robin Pod regulars joining me to review the fantastic victory over St Helens, preview our game against Warrington on Thursday night, and review the season so far, now that we're 10 rounds into Super League. Scott, I'll start with you. How are you, mate? Great to have you on the Robin Pod again.
Yeah, thanks for having us, John. All good here, mate. Thank you. Yeah, happy to be playing along again. Thanks for having me again.
And Graham, is there a time when you've been on this Robin Pod when you haven't been in Spain?
Not many, no.
And Steve, no. Of course, you joined me for the last Robin Pod. You helped preview the game against St Helens, and that's where we'll start this week. I mean, what a fantastic game of rugby league, but what a fantastic victory for the Robins.
We predicted it, didn't we? I was pretty confident, and I, to be honest, didn't expect 40 points, putting 40 points on them. I thought we'd win by a try and a drop, converted try and a drop goal. But we were magnificent. Problems immediately after the restarts, one caused, I think, primarily by the sun in Ryan Hall's face, but then the knock-on was bad as well from their second, from our second try into their second try. But apart from that, there was only one team in it, especially in the second half, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, prior to the game, St Helens were on average conceding just 8 points a game, and we absolutely blew them away on Saturday, didn't we? Did you share the same optimism that me and Steve felt prior to the game?
Yeah, I, like Steve said, I didn't expect us to score 40, though. I didn't expect us to beat them by 20 points. And when you consider, as Steve just mentioned there, the couple of errors that were made in our 20 to give St Helens a couple of easy scores, really, and, you know, they didn't really have to wait for those first two tries, did they? You know, they came off our errors. I mean, the score could have been a lot bigger than it was. You know, to score 40 points against Saints when they'd only conceded, I think, 70 in nine games, hadn't they? That was quite a phenomenal effort from Rovers. There were a couple of little areas where I think we need to tidy up a little bit. As I said, the individual errors, like the ball going out, Ryan, the sun in his face and the knock-on. And then in the second half, I think Jez did a couple of back-to-back little errors, didn't he, that gives St Helens a better field position where he kicked out on the full and then he tried to offload in the tackle that was never on, really. It's just little things that we just need to tighten up, I think, from Rovers' perspective. But 40 points against St Helens is phenomenal. And some of the tries we scored were sublime, weren't they? They were absolutely superb tries as well.
Yeah, and I suppose, Graham, I mean, the fact that their points in that first half came on the back of, you know, Rovers' unforced errors is almost a positive, because it's something that can be rectified and can be changed. And it wasn't as if St Helens blew us away, did they, with some, you know, fantastic pieces of rugby league. It was plays that were built on the back of our errors, which I'm sure will disappoint Willie Peters. But, you know, the fact that we came up with them errors, conceded the points we did, but still then come away with a resounding victory. I think that was the most pleasing thing for me.
Yeah, I think it demonstrated that they didn't have control in the game. When you're conceding points off those, like you said quite rightly, Johnny, you can fix those up. Sloppy play of the ball or drop ball, whatever, you can fix those up pretty easily. If you're getting dominated and teams are running through you because your defensive line isn't set or it's not good, then you're not in control of it. So that part of it is pleasing. The whole game plan management of Rovers this season, I think, has been upped a level as well in terms of how to control a game. And yeah, if you're looking at having the perfect game where no errors occur, I don't think you'll find it. So we've got to accept that errors are going to be a part of the game. You've just got to minimise them and react when they do happen. And look, you're going to concede points. But again, as the lads have already said, Saints are miserly when it comes to conceding points. So to be on such good attacking form, especially after the performance against Wigan the week before as well, against a top team like Saints and really put them to the sword. And listening to Wellens afterwards and listening to a few of the fan reactions, they were surprised at their result, but they were also very complimentary to the quality of what we put in front of them.
Yeah, and Steve, this performance, this result, it's not in isolation, is it? I mean, we saw what they could do against Wigan. You know, we put them to the sword, and these performances, what we've been building to. Now we're at that magical round 10 figure where everyone thinks, right, we can get a real steer on where teams are going to be probably come the end of the season, you know, now that we're 10 games in. And Rovers are handily placed, but these performances, you know, they're not by fluke, are they? The Willie Peters is working them hard, and you know, Willie Peters has prided this side on its defence, but actually it's the attacking play at the moment which is taking what everyone's focusing on, because some of the tries, especially in that first half, were absolutely fantastic.
They were. Just backing up, just going back to something Graham said, a perfect game would finish 0-0, wouldn't it? You know, if no one made a mistake, a perfect game would be 0-0 because defences would always be on top. But, our attack, some of the movement... In particular, I think it was Tanguy Noah, that line he took when he took the ball off Mikey and then fed Jack Broadbent. That was absolutely sensational. And also the second one that took me eye was the flick pass from Evels to Hickle. That took my breath away. And you know, we do work hard in defence, but it's that working hard in defence that gives you the opportunity to launch those kind of attacks. And Willie always said, win the battle and you win the match. And we've won the battle over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, coming on the back of... Wormed in Catalan. Those are two fantastic performances. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I suppose, Scott, what's more frustrating about that Catalan defeat is then seeing how poorly they've been performing over the last few games, isn't it? So, you know, they absolutely batter the Rovers. But then if you see what they've turned out in the next few games, you know, it's almost a completely different side. First try of the game, Scott. For me, Mikey Lewis, what a kick. Taro May, great to see them linking up. For me, Mikey Lewis is probably the only player, I think, in that side who can't be replaced. I think if anyone else is missing, we've almost got a like-for-like of someone to do an equally good job. I don't think Mikey Lewis is replaceable in that side. You know, I think he's so important to the Robins. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree. But I don't think we're a one-man team by any stretch of the imagination. But he certainly does make us tick, without a doubt. It's not just his overall attacking play. Even defensively, Mikey stands up, doesn't he, to some of the biggest blokes. He'll put his foot forward. He'll put his head into any tackle. But he leads us around the park. And I think that allows Tyrone May to do his job as well. I mean, he walks around in a dinner suit, Tyrone May, doesn't he? Just walks around the pitch, putting passes in, dropping balls off. But he lets Mikey tick all the stardom to a certain extent. I mean, that kick that Mikey put in for Tyrone to gather and go under the post was absolutely sublime. And we have to remember that Mikey, what is he, still only 22, isn't he? 23, something like that. He's still only a young kid, really. And he's leading us around the pitch. And he's got, I think his whole persona has changed this season as well. I mean, I know he cheers every knock on, and every time the other team make an error, he's his fist pumping and getting the East Stand going and what have you. But I think that pedantic side of Mikey as well has probably dropped off a little bit this year as well, which I think has actually made him a better player. It's made him a better all-round player, just focusing on his job, on his game, his responsibility to the team. And that's made Hull KR an overall better team. I think you're right. He's absolutely irreplaceable. I'm just glad he's contracted till 2028, whether he stays till 2028.
What highlights it even more, the form of Mikey Lewis, is when you see Lewis Dodds sign for the South Sydney Rabbitohs on a multi-year, you know, triple-figure salary. And you look at him and you look at Mikey and you wonder, bloody hell, what, if Mikey was to go, which I don't think there's any chance of that happening anytime soon, but what must his worth be? Because he's, I saw Phil Gould, he started to name drop Mikey Lewis, you know, so he's getting the attention, he's starting to focus on him. But I think what Scott mentioned there, he seems a much more mature player now. I think he learned some valuable lessons last season. And yeah, he's still got that, I don't know, that bit of cheekiness in him, that aggression, but it's controlled. And I do think the side are really benefiting from that now.
Yeah, I think Sorry, Steve. Yeah, just going to jump in on that one, John. Just I think we talked maybe at the back end of last season or beginning of this season when we were talking about Mike Hinn's improvements. I think this, what Scott highlighted there, is a massive improvement in his game. We've all seen him as a young kid, 17, 18 years of age, physically not sort of a Super League physique on him. But now in this last couple of seasons, he's bulked up nicely, he's settled himself down, he's not as petulant as previously, and he's not getting himself into situations where he could land himself in trouble. He's not giving referees any chance to make those decisions. Look, I'm not saying he's a perfect player and he's eradicated that from his game. I'm sure it will crop up every now and again, but it's definitely more coming to the fore where he's maturing and he is taking control of the team. And as Scott said, or Steve said, that is allowing Tyrone May to do his thing. And then it's just providing a huge platform for the whole attacking units that we've got, both sides now. And we've got some real strike on both sides.
Definitely. And Steve, I mean, that first half, I know we was confident going into it, but with the way the scoreline was going, it was hard to predict how that second half might go. I mean, 6-0, 6-6, 12-6, 12-10, 14-12, 16-14. You know, it was a really topsy-turvy game, and it did look like it would be that the side who could control the second half the most would come out on top, and it was Rovers who did that, wasn't it? You know, from the half-time, it was only the Robins who looked like it was going to go on to win the game.
We needed to score that first try in the second half. We needed to get two scores ahead. I spoke to a later man at half-time, and we're both in agreement on that. If we could get the first try in the second half, get two scores ahead, they're then trying to play catch-up football. And that's how it transpired. The fact is that we got to 28-14, was it?
Yeah.
28-14. So that in itself, you know, that gave it, they had to score three tries. And up against that defence. Can I just make a point about Michael? I had him as my man of the match because it wasn't his attacking prowess, it was his defence. His defence last Saturday was as good as I've ever seen Mikey Lewis play in defence. Conrad Hurrell ran at him three times and he didn't back down. He, you know, he produced the tackles on Hurrell. And also there was I can't remember who the defence player was, almost broke through and always round his ankles, but Mikey Lewis. That, for me, was a man of the match performance, and I don't always pick Mikey as man of the match. I know he has a big influence, but that for me was his best game for the club.
Yeah, Scott, in that second half, I mean, Steve just mentioned it there. I think it was the key period was the 47th and 51st minute when we saw Hicku and Litton going for scores. That put the Robins 28 points to 14, and I think that's where the lead, you know, I think that's when we put almost the St. Helens to bed. But the range of tries were scoring, Scott. You know, we had further tries from Hadley and Hall. You know, you look at the first score from Tyrone May. You see the Mikey Lewis try after the LA Minchella break. Tanganoa running that line for Jack Broadbent to score on debut. Dean Hadley with a perfect pop-up pass from Lewis. And then Hall, I mean, he was almost apologetic when he put that ball down for that try, wasn't he? The range of tries were scoring, Scott, must make it hard for the opposition to try and create a game plan to stop us, because the range is fantastic.
I think that's the point. I think that's why we're scoring the points that we are. I think the team really believe that they can score points all over the pitch, and it is actually coming to the fore now. It's proving that. And we're not just talking, you know, a few barge overs or having to score within the opposition's 20. We're scoring long-range tries as well. We're actually, you know, I mean, that, as Steve mentioned, that line that Tanganoa ran for his try was absolutely one of the best lines I've ever seen. It was just superb. You can't defend that. You just can't. It was so difficult to defend. What Jez Litton was doing on the wing for his try, I've got no idea. Why he's on the wing? I mean, I know the bomb's gone up and it's been gone a bit of a free-for-all, but it's maybe even that now, so do you know what? I'll just hang around here because you never know what's going to come from this. And something came of it. And they actually believe in their own ability, don't they? And I think that last try for Ryan when he was like, when he just put the ball down as though to say, sorry, lads, I've scored. That ball from Mikey was just, again, a sublime pass. But I was really, really pleased that Dino got a try, because nobody works harder for the team than Dean Hadley. And if Dean doesn't do his work, we don't score 40 points. You know, the hard work has to come first, doesn't it? And Dean Hadley was superb. And to see him just pop up with that try under the post, I think he truly deserved that. And his reaction when he threw the ball in the crowd and everything was just phenomenal. I love that try. Probably the simplest try of the day, but I loved it.
Yeah, you're right there. And great to see so many people tuning in on YouTube. Good morning, Beth. Bazza, Dean. Bazza, he's Port Graham. How good was Dino? Probably the best game in a Rovers shirt. I mean, he's consistent, big minutes on the pitch, plays in a range of positions. And do you know what? I think to his credit, Graham, you probably don't know what his best position is because he does so well in the positions he plays. I mean, Dean Hadley, he's running in his blood to water at the moment, isn't he? He's doing absolutely fantastic for Robins.
Yeah, he's a proper machine at the minute. And I think the biggest compliment you can pay him is that, for me, before we even start, you know he's going to give you at least 7 out of 10 every single week. And that's consistency. And again, another trait, I think, of his is, as Scott said there, he goes about his business, doesn't create a fuss, doesn't do anything. He just goes and grafts and grafts and grafts. And he goes unnoticed a lot of the time. But again, just to echo Scott's point there, if Dean Hadley doesn't do his work, we don't get the ball we get. We don't have the opportunities that we have. So, again, absolutely. I've said it for a couple of three seasons now that he's one of the most underrated players we've got. He'll never win, you know, player of the season or anything like that. But if you ask any of the players within the changing room whose contributions they value, they will go for that effort and that consistency week in, week out. And a lot of them will say Hadley is one of our sort of favourite players to play with because of what he does for the team that largely will go unnoticed.
Yeah, and I think as well, Graham, a lot of credit must go to the team behind the team. I mean, one of the major, you know, flaws with Dina at the time was his injury record, wasn't it? You know, you'd get two games out of him, then he'd be missing for three, then come back. And he just wasn't getting that consistency in terms of being out on the pitch. Whatever's changed behind the scenes, whether it's conditioning, whether it's recovery, whatever it is working because we are getting to see him out on the pitch for not just consecutive games, but the minutes he's putting in out on the pitch as well. You know, he's essential to that side. So whatever they've done behind the scenes is definitely working. Steve, for me, I do think, although the points scored on the 47th and 51st minute were crucial, I do think when Matty Parcell came on, that's when the game swung in our favour just that bit more. I don't think it was Jesleton's necessarily best game, but Matty Parcell, he brought a bit of composure, a bit of control, a bit of speed around the ruck as well. And I do think that change was pivotal. Are you surprised that Parcell has maybe not got more minutes this season?
Not surprised. I think Des has been playing pretty well. And, you know, I think Willie decides if a player's still showing the spark throughout the game, then keep him on. It's quite funny, actually, to talk about Des's try. I think he knew he was about to come off at that point. And the funny thing
is that why he was near the touchline, Steve? He was almost getting himself closer to the tunnel.
Let me finish. I'd seen Matty come off the bench and he was warming up. And the funny thing about that try, if you remember, Kendall had given us six again, but I don't think the players involved in that try knew that Kendall had given us six again. And it was like Harlem Globetrotter stuff, wasn't it? And I'm thinking, just somebody dive the ball, and then the flick pass came out, and there was Jez to score the try. But no, you're right about Parcell. Parcell coming on just steadied the ship and gave St. Helens a little bit more to think about than they'd had when Jed was on towards the end of his stint.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, there was a little bit of adversity before kickoff, weren't they? The fact that Oliver Gilbert pulled up in the warm-up and Jack Broadbent came in to make debut. What you would say is you wouldn't have noticed it was Jack Broadbent making debut because he seemed to fit in perfectly, to, you know, just slotted in next to Ryan Hall and to come away with a try as well on debut, albeit through the fantastic work of Lepi Tanganoa. Probably got a debut quicker than he thought he might have done, but, you know, that shirt's his at the moment. I wasn't after that performance.
Yeah, I think so. To be told you're playing 5 minutes before kickoff is, I guess as a professional, you've got to be ready to play, haven't you? And anything can happen in warm-ups and things like that. And he was ready, but it was a superb debut. I actually saw Gildart go down, actually, in the warm-up, and they were moving the ball to the left and just going through Hans, Mikey to Gildart to Hall. And then you just saw like his knee go under him. And then when he came out, you could see him holding his knee, and he was in a bit of pain, was Gildart. And straight away, you just knew that he was never going to play. He tried to run it off a bit, didn't he? And he tried to get a bit of movement into it. And every time he tried to inject a bit of pace into his running, it just went on him. So you knew he was never going to play. So the message is clearly got out to Jack that you're playing. You're on debut and you're playing left centre. And what a fantastic debut that was, both in attack and defensively. His positioning was superb. I know Jack can play all over the back line, can't he? But I don't think he's a natural centre. He's probably more a fullback, isn't he, than anything. But what a debut that was. You know, when you consider he's up against players like Conrad Hurrell as well on that side on debut, that's not bad at all. And to come away with a try, I think it was a great debut. I thought Jack was fantastic. I didn't realise he was as big as he was, actually. I don't know whether you guys realised he was as big as that. I didn't. He's a bit of a unit, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think as well, the testament to that performance was that he wasn't even 18th man on that performance. That was George King's role, was 18th man. So for him to literally come in from the cold and put that performance in, again, shows a quality, I believe, that we've got a cracking player there.
It's interesting that Willie played him because Sopacic was in the 21 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the natural centre. So that was interesting. What we've got to remember, though, lads, we play Warrington this week, but Jack Broadbent's cup tied for the semi final, so that's where Tom's going to come in, isn't he? I would have thought, but so let's see. Do we bring Tom in to get him some game time, or do we stick with Jack? That's the conundrum that Willie's got.
Yeah, some big decisions to be made. But the good thing is, like we spoke about, Steve, on the last Robin pod, is that the competition for places is red hot, isn't it? And like we've already mentioned, the players who come in are claiming the shirts, you know, they're earning that run of games. So, yeah, let's see what happens there. I tell you what, Graham, we beat Wigan and Saints at home now on the bounce. We lost to Catalan, and we've got Warrington next to us second. Is this Warrington game on Thursday? Well, but it is the next big test, isn't it? Is this the one, though, where people really sit up and go, this side could really be title contenders?
I think it could be, and the reason I say that is going back to one of the conversations we had at the back end of last season where we talked about what can Rovers do to improve next season, and I'd highlighted that we've won a lot of big games at home. We haven't gone away against the top four and won a game for a long, long while. So we haven't been to Wigan, Saints, Catalan or Warrington, you know, last season and won a game. So we came up well short against Catalan 2 or 3 weeks ago. So for me, this is a test of where we're really at. We've not done well against those top four away from home historically. So if you're saying, will people really take notice? I think, yes, they will. It won't define the season, obviously, but it will show to me that we've learned how to win those tricky games when you have to go away from home to Wigan, Saints, Warringtons, etc. We haven't quite cracked that yet, and that for me is that next step in becoming a really top team and be really considered, rather than just be someone who's buzzing around there and but we always come short when we go away to Wigan, Saints, Cats, etc. This for me could be a good statement to make, albeit it's still only just over a third of the way through the season. But yes, it should hit people's ears if they weren't pricked up already.
Can I just point out, though, that last season I felt we could have beaten Wigan and Saints away from home throughout the season, but it was the timing of the match. We played Wigan the week before Wembley and we played St Helens the week after, and we put a team of kids out against Wigan, and of course Saints the week after Wembley. There's not many teams going to go there and beat them out there. So the omens are good for it. Yeah, let's see if we, because Warrington's the only match that the only team Willie Peters hasn't beaten, so there's that as well. But like I say, last year I felt we could have had the beating of Saints and Wigan away had we had a full complement and the timing had been right.
Well, not the semi final, Steve, as well. That was away at Wigan.
I agree. Who would have thought that Wigan would have done that to us? None of us thought that. And that was a great Wigan performance. But I can see that. But that's come right at the end of the campaign.
But well, that's when you need to be good, though, isn't it? That's when you have to be good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
There has been a problem, Scott, though, hasn't it, for a number of years now, where all a trip to Saints, a trip to Wigan, not so much Warrington recently. We've got quite a decent record there, but it was almost a gimme, wasn't it? That you know, travelling down the M62, he was going more in hope that they might sneak a victory. Whereas now, you know, there should be an expectation around this side that they're going to compete. You know, Willie Peters keeps talking about putting in proud performances that they can be proud of. I think the only one he says they've not been proud of this season so far is Catalan. And ultimately, Scott, we can't afford too many more of them Catalan performances, can we? Because, you know, whether it's now or the back end of the season, we've seen how tight Super League the table is at the moment. There is no gimme. You know, we can't afford just to give up points. And unfortunately, we're going to have to do it a little bit tough against Wire on Thursday just due to some of the injuries. But I don't know, Scott, it is something we need to almost get off our back, isn't it? That when we travelled over to the Northwest, you know, these games, we need to be coming back with 2 points now.
Yeah, I think so. I think the most important thing is that we have to be competitive in the games as well. Yes, well, we need to win them. We need to get the monkey off our back and say, yeah, we've been to Wigan, we've been to Saints, we've been to Warrington, we've come away with 2 points. As long as you're in the game, if you do lose it and you lose it, say, by 2-4 points, you can stick your hand up and say, do you know what? Well, we're really competitive. We've just come up short. The Catalan game, as Woody said, we're nowhere near where we want to be. Nowhere near. And we can't afford any more of those this season, because they're the games that where if you're playing the teams in and around you, you've got to be beating those teams. Now, we know how hard it is to go to St. Helens and Wigan on a Friday night and getting across the M62 and stuff like that, you know. But if we can beat them at home, it's a 100-yard pitch, isn't it? You know, I know it's a bit different, but 100 yards, 50 yards, whatever it is, the width of the pitch, the length of the pitch. But a rugby pitch is a rugby pitch at the end of the day. And I know it's different going into different hostilities and different stadiums and different setups, but we have to find a way of getting over the line against these teams. And tomorrow night is a good starting point. I don't know whether Warrington are playing particularly well at the moment. I didn't think they were that good against that lot last week. I think the week before they struggled a little bit as well. It seemed a lot goes through George Williams, as it always will do with Warrington. But I think we have a really good chance tomorrow night of getting the monkey off our back. If we go and lose by 30 points, then other people are saying, you know, you're just playing the game, you know. But if we go there, even if we lose tomorrow night, but we lose by 2 to 4 points and we're competitive, I think people will say, hang on, this whole KR team are a bit of the real deal, but we've got to win. We've got to win tomorrow, I think, to make a statement.
Yeah, the squad news is out. And Willie Peters has named a 20-man squad, not the usual 21-man. Oliver Gildart, he drops out. I think as we record this Robin Pod now, they're waiting on the scan results, I think, to see what the severity of Gildart's injury is. The fear is, from Willie Peters, that if it's not a favourable scan for Gildart, it could be a longer-term injury, which would be really bad news for the Robins, because Gildart has been I think he's been exceptional since he's come into the side. Two more players who are named in the squad but are potentially at risk of not playing against Warrington on Thursday are Elliot Minchella and James Batchelor. They're both injury doubts, so they're going to be giving us as much time as possible to see if they're fit and ready to play on Thursday night. Like you said, Graham, it's tough going to Warrington. We know that. And you want to go with your best available squad. I mean, Minchella, Batchelor, Gildart, big name players, produce the goods. If three of them are not playing, you know, it does change the squad and the look of it.
It does, but it gives three more players the opportunity to stake a claim to the share. So, I, you know, we've talked about before about having competition for places. This injuries are going to happen in rugby league. We know that. You know, other clubs will be nursing injured players at the minute and having to shuffle their packs as well. So we're no different, and we have to manage it. We can't. You know, what do we do? Do we, you know, do we sulk about it and say, oh well, we had three players missing and we've lost the game, let's move on? Or do we go put three more players in the squad, give them a chance to play the system, play the game plan, and be competitive, as the lads have said, and try to get the victory and then give them a stake to the share? And one interesting piece from Peters is pre-match presser. He doesn't want people to just be comfortable in the shirt. He wants people to go out and challenge for the shirt as well. So again, it's just it's whilst the door will close for, you know, potentially what, definitely one, I think, but potentially two or three of those aforementioned players, we should have enough quality in there to shuffle the pack a little bit and still provide an excellent performance against, you know, what will be a tough Warrington side. So yeah, it's disappointing. So you always want your best 17 out there. But if it means we have to, you know, not risk Minchella, for example, and potentially lose him for longer if by playing him, well, look, if he plays and he gets injured, he's out for the cup semi-final, what do we do then? So we've got to manage accordingly. But Peters is very much a week-to-week game, you know, game talker. He doesn't look too far ahead. So they'll do what's right for this particular week in terms of those injured players and determine whether they're fit to play or not. And then, like I said before, it will give, no doubt, at least one, potentially two or three players who may be chomping at the bit to come in and stake their claim to those shirts.
Yeah, and that's been a feature of the season so far, isn't it, Steve, that the players who have come in, whether it's through just selection, through performance, or whether it's because of injury, the players who have come in have kept the shirt, they've done the job. You know, you'd say Gildart injured, you know, you've got Jack Broadbent and top opposite, like we've already mentioned, sort of vying for that spot, so you think we're covered there. Obviously, the pack does change, though. If Batchelor is missing or Minchella or both, it does mean that some people are going to have to move around. And I suppose looking at our pack options, we're very heavy in props at the moment. And of course, we've just signed Jack Brown from that lot across there in a swap deal for Yusuf Aydin. But like Graham said, Steve, when one door closes, another one opens, doesn't it? And I think that's the exciting thing about this side at the moment.
Yeah, I think Adley will go loose, man, if Minchella doesn't make it. In terms of the second row, will we bring Tennyson in? Does he?
Yeah, Tennyson's in the squad.
Yeah, you know, so that's the key one, the Batchelor one. So you're going to move, if we were to move Adley out the second row to loose forward, then we could be without two regular second rowers. And like you say, we're a bit prop heavy. But, you know, Matty Stoughton can fit in the second row, and we've got to play with what we've got, and we've got to beat what we're opposing. You know, I think the key to it is the forward pack, because looking at the game, I think we're better in the halfbacks, and if our forwards can just get a little bit of an upper hand over the Warrington six, then that releases our halfbacks. I think Warrington having Drinkwater in, I don't think he played that well against Hull. And, you know, so they're going to miss that young kid. And so it is in the forward battle where we need to assert ourselves. So I'm not that worried about having a team full, a pack full of, if you like, props. We've got enough cover there, and it's how we perform on the night now.
Yeah, Scott, what do you make of the Jack Brown Yusuf Aydin swap deal? Jack Brown, 23 years old. He's made 66 Super League appearances, debuted in 2019. His family, big Rovers fans. Jack's admitted about being stood on the East Stand, so it's a homecoming. We've rescued him from his hostage hell, I suppose, over in that side of the city, and he's being welcomed with open arms. Yusuf Aydin, it's hard to have too much of an opinion. I think we've not really seen what he can do. Yeah, he's had spells, but we haven't seen him on a consistent basis. And all you'd say is Jack coming in, similar age. He's got 66 Super League games under his belt. He's got, you know, first team experience in Super League, albeit playing for them, which is obviously probably not helped his progression based on the poor levels of coaching that we've come accustomed to over that side of the city. So I'm sure he'll be looking forward to working under Willie Peters and Dave Hodgson and people like that. But I don't know what do you reckon, Scott. Is it a deal that gets you excited, or is it one where we'll see where it pans out?
I think that's the case. We'll see where it pans out. I've got to admit, I don't know much about either player, to be honest with you, Jack Brown or Yusuf Aydin. I think it's very much a like-for-like swap to a certain extent. The advantage we get as a club is that we get a devout red and white coming to wear his team shirt, who's got 66 Super League games under his belt. So we've probably got maybe the slightly better deal. I don't know. But I don't know either of them really as players and what their strengths and weaknesses are as players, really, because I've not seen enough of them to make a comment on that. What I do know is that I think it's good that we have, as I say, Jack back in a red and white shirt. I say back in a red and white shirt when he's on the pitch as a red and white rather than being in the stands as a red and white. I think that will give him a boost. I think you give that a little bit extra. Not that I'm knocking any professionals or anything like that. So I'm just hoping that Jack's one of these players that once he pulls on a red and white shirt, we get an extra 10-15% out of it. We might do that, you know, because of the club that he's playing for, the club that he loves. But in regards the kind of player he is, and you know what he can achieve and do for the team on the pitch, I've not seen enough of him to make a comment. Really, I don't know. I think we've got a slightly better deal in just in regards to Super League game experience, but I think that's probably about it, really.
Yeah, Graham, Steve, can he come into the squad for the Warrington game? Obviously, we named the 20-man squad, so can he come into it?
They agreed that as long as they'd inform the rugby league and name the player that might come in, then he can come in. I did question that, but apparently as long as he's been nominated, as it were, as a possibility.
Yeah,
and I'm not actually sure when he actually joined us, because he's been photographed training with Rovers in Rovers training gear.
What upset me was seeing Rovers put that picture of Jack Brown out, you know, on social media. That wasn't a good look, lads.
Because he has been training with Rovers, but I don't know how long. So whether it's only since Monday or something like that, I don't know. But he has been training with Rovers, so they could have got a picture of him in Rovers training gear if need be. Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, did you see the socks he wore? Somebody said it was like a kid going to school and forgetting his PE socks. And get one out of that tub over there, you know.
Anyway. I mean, obviously, the inclusion in the squad does raise the question whether he'll feature on Thursday night. Graham, Warrington, they look a bit of a different Warrington side that we've been used to over the last few seasons. You know, they seem to have lost a bit of that flashiness. They seem to be a bit more hard working, maybe a little bit under the radar. And Sam Burgess, I mean, he's good friends with Willie Peters through his time over in Australia. He's pitting his wits as a head coach for the very first time. He seems to have hit the ground running at the Wolves. But, you know, if you've watched Warrington over the course of the season so far, you know, and we saw them firsthand at Craven Park, didn't we, back in March, they're not, I don't know, it's not a side that necessarily puts fear into me, Graham.
No, I think, I don't know what the right word is here, but the Warrington side that we know have been expansive and good to watch on some occasions, but they've always got defensive frailties in them. I think that they're not going to grind out hard fought wins. It's going to be 32-24 sort of thing. So I think they've got points on him because they've got good players in there. Williams etc. is exciting. Duffy's playing pretty well as well. So I think they've got points in them, but they seem to be a bit more workmanlike. And is that Sam Burgess' influence of getting those basics right, and like Willie Peters does, gets the defence set first and then plays from there, and gives the ball to Williams, Drinkwater, etc. So, I don't think we should fear them like we can go over there and give them a good go on Thursday night. But yeah, not quite sure whether is everybody just waiting for Warrington to do their annual implosion and start dropping down the table after, you know, half the season's gone? I don't know. They just seem a little bit different, but I don't quite know if they're going to be good enough to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And, you know, we are 10 rounds into Super League now. The Robins are handily placed in the league table, level on points with 5 other sides during the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. If we do a little mini review now, we'll start with you, Scott. Who's the player who's impressed you most so far this season?
I'm going to go a little bit left field because I think we all go with the X Factor players. But obviously, I'm Dino. I think it's been superb. But I want to give a special mention to Jai Whitbread. I think Jai Whitbread has been absolutely superb. Again, he's another forward who does long minutes. I think he did 35 minutes against St Helens without having a break. And they only took him off for the last 5 minutes of the first half. I think he carries well. He makes good yardage. He wins the ruck. He wins the floor. Gets good, quick play of the ball. So I'm going to stay away from the X-Factor players and I'm going to go for the workhorse. And I'm going to say Jai Whitbread. I think he's been superb for us. Good signing.
Yeah, what about you, Graham?
Yeah, I'd like to pay credit to all the signings, the new ones that have come out, because they've all made an impact.
Graham, that's not the answer I'm looking for.
No, I'm getting there. Don't worry. No, wait a minute. Because you always want to see impact from your new players. And I think they've settled down pretty quickly, the Hikus of this world. Tyrone May is an absolute baller. So I love watching Tyrone May warm up and play because it's just so effortless for him. But I'm going to go the opposite to Scott and I'm going to go with one of those impact players. And I'm going to say I absolutely love watching Tanganoa.
Yeah, he's running some great lines at the moment. And what you look, if you try and match up players who've come in to the players who departed last season, you know, and we've talked about Willie Peters and the club's transfer dealings, you'd say everyone who's come in has been better than what's departed already.
That's the key to building a better squad, isn't it? You lose somebody, that's natural. But again, when you bring somebody in, are they going to improve what you've lost? And that's absolute goldust. And I think on most occasions that has happened. But you look at Aiden, for example. Aiden was I believe, one of Peters' signings to bring him across. So he hasn't been afraid to say that hasn't quite worked out. I think there's better out there and I'm prepared to let that play go. He hasn't sort of held on to him for sentimental reasons. So I think there's that ruthless side in Peters as well that will keep that evolution of the squad going. I think with what you said there about the players we've lost historically, I think we've been blessed with, you know, back in the day with Newton, Galea and Kane Lynette, etc. in that position. That's why I went for Tanganoa, because it's such a standout player that is performing as well as those players have for us.
Yeah, what about you, Steve?
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to go backs and forwards, and they've already been mentioned. Tyrone May, I think he's been fantastic. I did expect him to be, by the way. I followed him a lot last year. We all did, I suppose, when he was playing for the Catalans. But he's just brought an extra dimension. And he did something proper on Saturday against St Helens. He put a decent kick in. That was his weakness in his game for me, kicking. But there was one sublime kick he put in. Nearly brought us a try. But he just, like, the cliches all come flooding, don't they? You know, he plays in a dinner jacket, da-da-da-da-da. But he does, you know. And so he's my man in the backs. And
I was just going to say as well, Steve, I think what's gone unnoticed by many about Tyrone May is just the sheer amount of defensive work he gets through.
Massive.
You know, I think 27 tackles on Saturday against St Helens. I mean, for one of your halfbacks to be coming up with some of the defensive players he comes up with, you know, he's testament to what Willie Peters is doing with the side, but credit to the player as well.
Yeah, he doesn't take a backward step. He had a year out of the game, didn't he, a couple of years ago? And apparently he studied the game. He watched video after video after video to see where he can improve when he came back, you know. And we're reaping the benefit of that, you know. And, yeah, we didn't expect that defence, I don't think. I think that came under the radar a bit. But it's absolutely superb. Just going on again, though, I've got to go for Dean Adley in the forwards for the same reason that Scott went for Whitbread. You know, he's just been there all the time, grafting in that engine room, tackling, doing all the dirty, you know, I'll call it the dirty stuff, the stuff nobody else wants to do. And revelation again for me. So out of the two, well, one's a back, one's a forward. It's even money each or two. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Petr Hicku. I just think a bit of a rocky start, although I don't think it was really that rocky. I think a lot's been made up of his early, you know, his first few games of the season. But even at fullback, he wasn't stinking the place out, was he? But no. Since that move to the right centre, I just think he's the way he's playing has added the balance to the side that we was missing for a good couple of seasons. You know, we're not having to revert going down the left every time, and that's just created so many problems for the opposition. And I think the player who's pivotal to that is Petr Hicku, whether it's his link-up play with Evels and Burgess, or whether it's just his sheer power and determination to make things happen for himself. And we saw that against Wigan with a try score, didn't we? So for me, Petr Hicku, and to all them people who suggested that he might be finished, I think a lot of people will be eating their words. And I'm going to predict now he's going to be a Super League dream team player come the end of the season. I think as long as he avoids injury, I think he's going to be in that side. You what, Scream?
Top try scorer at the minute, I think.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, that's built on some fantastic services receiving. But, you know, like we've always said, it takes someone to finish it. And not all these tries are like Dean Hadley's, where it's just a barge off the line, is it? The tries that he's scoring, there's still a lot of work to do. Scott, are the Robins where you thought they would be at this point of the season?
Yeah, I think so. We could be, well, I think we should have beat Warrington at home. So we'd have been top, if we're being honest. But I think so. To what, we've only lost three games out of 10. Salford away was a bit of a disappointing, wasn't it? I guess that was the most apart from Catalan, Salford away was quite a disappointing defeat. But then we've seen how well Salford have played. They're up there with us in one of the teams on 14 points. So it just shows you that, you know, all these teams in Super League, they're very difficult to beat. They're good sides. You know, it's not a given to go and win any game. So I think the fact that we're in there, we're in the position where I think where we should be, about right, I would have thought. But I said if we'd have beat Warrington at home, we could have been top of the league by now. In regards to progression, as we know, nothing's won in Mazits. And I think Graham and Steve have alluded to, it's what you do at the back end of the season. We beat Wigan and Saints at home last season as well, and we came up short, you know. So it's what you do at the back end of the season. There's no point peaking now if you're going to fall off towards the back end. So all I want us to see is to be really competitive in every game. And apart from the Catalan away, we have been, and I think where we are is probably about right here.
What about you, Graham? Are you in agreement with Scott?
Yeah, I thought we'd be up there. I thought we'd be competitive again and picking up good points. Is it fair to say we're joint top of the league? did we expect us to be there? Probably not top of the league, but certainly in and around that top four or five at this stage of the season, I would hope we would be there at least, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose, Steve, I mean, Challenge Cup semi-finals, handily placed in the league table. I think what's making it just a little bit galling is them disappointing defeats to Salford away and then Warrington at home. You know, if someone had said to you at the start of the season, you're going to lose to them two, but you're going to beat Wigan and the Saints, you know, people might have questioned that. And that's why, you know, it's a little bit frustrating because I do genuinely think we should be higher than what we are. I think we should be leading Super League at the moment. But, you know, for a first 10, I think I think we're where I thought we would be. What about you?
Yeah, but let's face it, we lost to Warrington at home and Salford last year in the those games. And I think this weekend is the same weekend we played Warrington away last year. I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm into my horse racing. I'm sure it was the Chester week, and it's Chester week this week, that we played Warrington away. And we were just a little bit unlucky not to win that game. And so I'm just hoping we have that little spurt of luck that takes us there. You know, historically, Rovers have had a bad month every season since we came back into Super League. A bad month where we've lost two or three games. We lost to Salford at Magic. We lost to Hull, I think, a week later when we had a lot of injuries. At the moment, touch wood, yeah, we've got injuries this week, but they've been few and far between, and we've had the cover this time. So we are where I hoped we would be. I did hope we'd be improving on fourth. We are joint top. We were one win away from being top. And so if we can keep that momentum going and get the cup tie out the way, well, obviously I want us to win it. But Warrington are in the same position as us in terms of the cup, because they're in the semi-final next week as well. So they'll be, you know, that'll be in the back of some players' minds, I'm sure, especially out. Probably more so at Warrington than the Rovers. Willie's trying to keep the cap on it. And whatever will be that next week with regards to the cup. But I'd like us to nick this a win tomorrow on Thursday night. And if we can do that, then we are the real deal.
Yeah, Graham, after 10 rounds, what's been your highlight of the season so far?
Yeah, I think individually some of the tries we've scored have been fantastic, but I'm liking the composure we're showing in games. It sounds really dull and boring, I know that, but it's managing games better week on week and being in control of games. And I think we all can remember games where 2, 3, 4 years ago, the Rovers of old would have caved in on some occasions, you know, in tough situations against the Wiggins, the Saints, and it would have been one of those, oh, well, we gave it a go, but we came out on the wrong side. Now we're so consistent now in our performances, and Peter's talks about a lot about the drops in performances aren't huge drops, and notwithstanding the Catalan one, I think that result, every now and again, one of those, just gives you that little slap on the top back of the legs just to remind you where your standards should be at. And if there's any complacency coming into to the team, results like that just remind you of it and refocus your efforts on the Wigan and Saints games following. So I'm really liking to see that maturity of composure, of game management, which we've probably all asked the questions of, where has it been over the last few years when we've seen, you know, some of these results go astray or lose games from winning positions. So for me, that is a testament to the squad, and the highlight being the additions that have to the squad that have improved it after, you know, some of the big losses of SKD, Kane Lynette, etc. I think a few of us were probably thinking, how on earth are we going to, you know, match those? But again, I think to the players that have come in, I think they've fitted in seamlessly to that, and it's still a loss to lose players like that, but I don't think it's been as big a transition as many people thought it would be.
Yeah, what about you, Scott?
Yeah, very similar to what Graham's just said there. I think it's important that, you know, your best performance and your worst performance aren't too far apart. You've got to maintain that level, that standard of performance, whether you win or whether you lose. Catalan apart, we've done that. Every game, even the two games we lost to Salford and Warrington that we've mentioned, we were in the game. We could have won both those as well. So I think it's massively important that there's no, the gap between being your best and being your worst is very, very minimal. You can rectify those situations. Totally agree with what Graham said. All the players that we've brought in are better than the players that I think we've let go. And I think that could even happen right throughout the rest of this season as well. If Willie sees a player that he doesn't think is, you know, pulling up trees, he's not scared to say, away you go, and we'll bring somebody else in. You know, when you look back, and I don't like naming players, but when we've let players go in the past, let's say, I don't know, two off the top of my head, Will Dagger and Jimmy Kynos. You had fans saying, we can't let them go. The utility, they can play anywhere. Dagger and Kynos won't get anywhere near this team now. anywhere near it. So every player that we bring in is better than the one we've let go. And that is still the situation. And I can see that happening right throughout this season. Willie's got standards, absolute standards that he expects from his players. And I think all the players have bought into that as well. You know, it's not just a case of putting the shirt on and playing the game. You've got to sweat blood for the shirt. And if you don't, somebody else will. And he'll just move players on. But that's sport. You can't stand still. There's no sentiment, is there? There's no sentiment in sport. You know, people get upset when players move on or coaches move on and things like that. But that's just part of the game. And if you want to be better and you want to win trophies and you want to be successful, you've got to be ruthless. And I think Willie is. And whether you like it or not, whether people like it or not, that's just the way sport is at the moment. And if you want to be the best, well, you've got to compete with the best. And I think that's where Rovers are trying to get to. But we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. We're not far away. So, everything that Graham said, I totally agree with. For me, your best performance and your worst performance can't be too far apart.
Yeah, 100%. And Steve, I mean, so many moments of magic already in terms of individual brilliance, you know, team tries. What's been your standout moment of the first 10 rounds?
I think the fact that we only conceded one penalty against St. Helens on Saturday. Discipline. The discipline, especially shown over the last two games, I think that has been fantastic. I think it's true, the one penalty we conceded was a technical penalty where a player was accidentally offside. And apart from that, we did not concede a penalty against St. Helens. That's a remarkable statistic.
And I think as well, Steve, I mean, we didn't mention it when we talked about the game, the line speed and the aggression shown by St. Helens, you know, we saw everything why their defensive record was so good prior to the game. You know, it's hard to face that and not give away penalties.
Yeah, yeah. Even accidental, you know, head knocks or anything like that, we did none of that. Our defence was fantastic. And I agree with Graham and Scott, you know, you can look at highlights and think of individual games, but you've got to look at the overall picture. And on the overall picture, it's all about consistency and discipline. And I think we showed that in lumps over the last two games, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I'm slightly stretching my highlight, but it's definitely, I think, one of the biggest moments of the first 10 rounds. And that was the 70th minute of our victory over that lot on Good Friday, our 34 points to 10. And it was Mikey Lewis's first conversion of the season. And it's almost put to bed that nonsense we had at the start of the season of whether it be Litton, Batchelor, Hicku. You know, I've got full confidence in Lewis's kicking ability. And I think that's the moment where we just put that bit to bed, dampened down that noise. And we've got full faith in Mikey Lewis and his kicking. And to be fair, Scott, he looks very assured, doesn't he? And what's helped as well, we look like we're actually trying to score tries under the sticks.
Yeah. That's beneficial, I guess, for any kicker. But even the one that he nailed right after the final outro on Saturday against St. Helens, right off the touchline, you know, when Ryan Hall scored, you could easily just put the ball down and go for goal. And if it sails across the post, it does. But the fact that he actually nailed it after the outro as well, right off the touchline, was absolutely superb. 6 from 7, I think he kicked, didn't he, on Saturday? That kicker's always been there. And I don't know why he was never always going to be the kicker, because I get that Willie maybe wanted to take a bit of pressure off him and they didn't want to give him added responsibility. But Mikey thrives on that, doesn't he? He thrives on that responsibility, even as a goal kicker. You know, when he kicks a goal, when he comes back past the east stand, he's fist pumping and he's smiling and, you know, he thrives off it. And if you're kicking 6 out of 7 every week, it's got to be your kicker, hasn't it? You know, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, Graham, and looking ahead to the rest of the season, I mean, we've already touched on some points, but where do the Robins need to improve if we're going to be at the business end come the back end of the season?
Yeah, I think we've talked about the consistency. That's got to be paramount. The efforts and the all the unseen stuff, I think, is paramount. But I think for me, it's really going back to those big games away from home. Can we come away with 2 points? Can we really be classed as contenders? That for me is a question that's unanswered at the minute. We came up short in the last season. I think for me this season we've got a real chance to maintain that position up near the top this season, and who knows what will transpire. But like we said, with a bit of realism, we're still only just a third of the way through the season, so we could have a horrendous run with injuries. Other clubs could have a horrendous run. You know, things will change over the course, and like Steve mentioned it earlier, we've always had a bad spell, bad month, I think Steve called it, in the last few seasons. So can we minimise that spell when it comes to us? Can we minimise that to just singular weeks, or at worst a couple of weeks, and then we're back on the horse without it dragging out for 4 and 5 games and then really putting us behind the eight ball to play catch-up? So for me, again, a few simple ones: consistency, levels of performance, effort, etc. And then coming away with those big results on Friday night that we're going to win, or say it's away, wherever it may be.
What about you, Steve?
I think we've got to make sure teams don't come back at us after we score or get on the front foot early. Let's look at Warrington at home. They went 12-0 up on us. We fought back, so the momentum swung, but then we gave away two absolutely stupid tries just before half time in that game. I think they scored twice in about 3 minutes. So it needs that full concentration, especially after we've scored. Don't let teams come back at us. Consolidate our position. If we score a magnificent length of the field try, then do the hard yakka for the next 6 tackles. Just make sure we consolidate. And the more we do that this season, the more we can concentrate on doing that, the better our options are later in the year.
Yeah, one thing for me that I'd like to see improve, Scott, I don't know, it's maybe not controversial, but it's our left edge defence. I think Ryan Hall's getting caught out a couple of times. I think we saw it against St Helens, where he's either trying to read a play where he wants to intercept the ball, or he's getting dragged inside. And I think teams are starting to maybe target that left edge in defence. And maybe that's one of the symptoms of, you know, that he has had, I mean, 3 partners at centre now, Jack Broadbent, obviously the third one. And I just think we need to tighten up in that area, because, you know, I think teams will start to exploit it a bit more.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what we have to remember, we've had consistency for the last 3 or 4 years in Lynette, SKD and Hall. It's always been them three, and nobody ever really tried to attack us down there per se, because they knew they probably wouldn't get any change out of it. So you're right. Having 3 different centres hasn't helped, but, you know, we had to accept as well, as still as good as Ryan is, and he's still one of the best wingers in Super League, even at the age he's at, he's not getting any younger. And he is probably losing half a yard of pace here and there as well. So he is going to get targeted a lot more. But I think it's something that can be rectified, can't it? You know, it's just about getting your positions, your defensive structures right. They went down that way as well. Saints, I think, last Saturday went through Hurrell as well, didn't they? You know, I mean, they give him the ball. It's just a battering ram, isn't he? And they were just trying to get through us that way. And he got through a couple of times. But I'm not too worried about it. I used to worry about our right edge more than the left edge. But now it seems that our left edges are probably a little bit more dodgy than the right edge. You know, to get both edges bang on will be superb at some point. I just hope we can do that. But it's nothing that can't be rectified. I'm not too worried about it. And if Ryan jumps out the line every now and then and bats the ball back for Tanganoa to go full length, or he takes an interception like he has done in the past, then so be it. But, you know, I'm not too worried. It'll be rectified.
Yeah. So we are away Thursday night, and we look forward to it, don't we, with anticipation, because I'm sure it's going to prove to be another interesting and fantastic game of rugby league. If you're going to the game, make sure you are loud and proud and you're backing the Robins. Huge thanks to Scott, Graham and Steve for joining me on this week's Robin Pod Weekly, which is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials and supporters of Hull Kingston Rovers.